Live by every word. That is the challenge and the opportunity the Bible gives to you. This program examines the actual words that have proceeded out of the mouth of God Himself, so we can use them to guide our paths and live by them in our everyday lives. This is Live by Every Word.
Thanks for joining me today here on Live by Every Word. I'm Dwight Falk. This is Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG, and we're online at thetrumpet.com as well. You can find our podcasts wherever you like to get those. We have all witnessed a baby turning into a toddler. It's exciting to see them grow and to develop more skills and to learn in that process. Of course, they begin to walk. They go from being just pretty helpless there as an infant to crawling around a little bit, and then finally they walk. Now, when they learn to do that, they do stumble, they fall, they walk into things, and it's because they're learning something new. They have to develop the needed muscle strength. They have to develop the coordination to be able to put one foot in front of the other, but they keep at it, and eventually they walk. And soon after that, they run, and they skip, and they jump. And we've all gone through that process, although we probably don't remember it. But we need to go through a similar process spiritually. We don't go from just beginning to understand God's truth to mastering it in one day. It takes time. It takes time, and it takes diligent effort. Let's notice the scripture in Romans 8, if you'd like to turn there. We've got a few scriptures today. If you have a Bible handy, you could get it out. We could look at these passages together and see a little bit about this character development process. Godly character, it takes time to develop. Romans 8 and verse 9, just the last part of it there, it says, "Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." A true Christian has to receive the Holy Spirit of God. No one is a Christian if they do not have God's Spirit. Many people think they're Christians, but they've never actually received God's Spirit. And so we need the Spirit of God. Look down at verse 14. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." We need God's Spirit, and we have to be led by God's Spirit. Now, if you think about that for a moment, where does God's Spirit lead us? Well, it leads us to obey God and His laws and to follow God's government. God's Spirit never would lead us in a direction against God's law. It always leads us to obey God. It leads us to follow God's government. And yet it takes time to grow and to develop God's character. Even with the Spirit of God working with us and leading us, we have to have some time to develop. Children don't go from a crawl to a somersault right away, at least not intentionally. I suppose accidentally they might flip over. But it takes time to really develop skill. Physically, that's true, and spiritually, that's true as well. It takes time to develop the character of God. We need God's Spirit to do that. In 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, Paul refers to the people he was dealing with as babes in Christ, many of them newly converted, of course, at that time, and they still had a lot to overcome. There were some problems that he had to deal with in the congregation. They had some divisions, they had some strife, and Paul was correcting them, and he was telling them that they had to grow up spiritually. They were just babes in Christ. They were Christians. They did have God's Spirit. They were of Christ. Right? They were the sons of God, but they were so new. They were begotten, and just newly begotten. They weren't fully perfect yet by any stretch, and so Paul said that they had to keep growing, and that's true for all of us. We all have to keep growing spiritually, and specifically that means we have to keep conquering sin. Conquering sin, God's Spirit leads us in that way. It leads us to obeying God's laws and following God's government. Here's a quote from the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence Course. This is an open letter from that course that's sent after several of the lessons are completed. And it's a free course. It's at thetrumpet.com. And you should sign up for it if you haven't. It's a great course. But it says the Bible shows that we must grow in God's way, overcoming the world, Satan the devil, and our own carnal nature throughout our Christian life. That's the process. That's a growth process. Paul was talking to those in 1 Corinthians 3 about that same process, and he was giving them some specifics because there were some specific issues that they were having to overcome, but he was showing them, look, you've got to grow in God's way. You've got to overcome the world. You've got to overcome Satan the devil. You have to overcome your own carnal nature and keep growing and keep developing. The quote says, a true Christian doesn't want to sin, but sometimes does when caught off guard, overwhelmed by habit, temptation, or circumstances. The intention is to not sin. That's what a true Christian is really trying to do and striving to do in all seriousness. And they're very sober about that. But occasionally there can be a sin that happens that they commit, and then they have to repent. The correspondence course says, God looks on the heart, the inner motive, the real intent, and he's rich in mercy to one who, although sometimes stumbling and falling, immediately gets up and in deep heartfelt repentance asks God's forgiveness. He resolves to do his best with God's help, not to commit the same sin again. He is continually striving to overcome sin. Can we say that about ourselves? Are we really resolving, with God's help, not to commit the same sins again? Are we continually striving to overcome sin? That's what we have to be doing. You know, we are very merciful when we look at a small child learning to walk and they stumble. You know, people don't get upset with that child because they know they're just learning. But, you know, if it's an adult that's continually tripping and falling down and bumping into people, well, I think people would be less patient with that, right? We do need to be growing. We do need to be developing. We can't continue to be a little child spiritually. We do have to grow up. And God helps us along the way in that process. We have to keep working to walk God's way. And again, specifically, that means obeying God's law and following his government. And at times we might stumble, but we have to get up and keep moving forward. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20 notes that there's not a just man upon earth that does good and sins not. Not a just man upon earth that does good and sins not. There's nobody perfect. That's what it's saying. Jesus Christ was the only human to live a perfect life. So the rest of us, we're not perfect, but we are to be working to become perfect, like God our Father. Jesus Christ says that in Matthew 5 and verse 48. So there is a recognition that we're not perfect, but at the same time, we're working to grow and to conquer sin, conquer Satan, society, and ourselves, and become perfect like God our Father is. It's a growth process. Now, sometimes people might stumble spiritually and throw up their hands and say, well, no one's perfect, you know. And that is true, as we looked at. But again, that's not an excuse to just stay there and keep stumbling around. We have to be working to conquer sins. You know, if you imagine a baby that was trying to walk and fell down and said, well, what are you going to do? Nobody's perfect. And just sat there. Well, that would be a pretty lame life, I guess. They wouldn't do much. You know, that's not the way a small child is. They get up and they keep going. They try again and eventually they get it. You know, we need to be growing. We need to be developing God's character. We can't just quit. You know, imagine, you think about like an adult. An adult that's walking and trips over the curb and just lays there and says, well, you know, nobody's perfect. I'm just going to sit here. Well, that'd be ridiculous. You know, you get up and dust yourself off and keep going. That's what we do physically. If we fall, we just get up and keep going and try not to do it again. We're more careful going forward. So we need to be the same way spiritually. We do occasionally stumble, but we have to get up, keep going, repent, change, and really let God work in us through the power of his Spirit to develop his character. notice this quote again from the open letter from the correspondence course. It says, but because Christians are not perfect, some misunderstand and use this as an excuse not to repent of their sins and begin to live the Christian life. They mistakenly think that one cannot be a Christian until they have first broken all the bad habits and they're living a perfect life. Now, again, a person does need to be working to grow and to change, but still it does take some time. The quote says, what they do not understand is that a person does not begin to overcome sin and start down the path leading to eternal life without the Holy Spirit. We need God's Spirit. The starting point is repentance. The starting point is repentance. Notice Acts 2 and verse 38. The Bible's very clear on this, that the starting point is repentance. That's specific instruction right out of the Word of God. Acts 2 and verse 38. This is the first Pentecost after Jesus Christ was crucified and resurrected, and God's Spirit was going to be open to some that God would call. God has to do the calling, of course. John 6 and verse 44 tells us that. But God would call some, and they would have access to God's Spirit if they followed God's instructions and they followed his process. Peter gets up and he gives this very powerful sermon. Some people laughed at him and made fun of him, but some were very much convicted. And they asked him, well, what should we do? Okay, so what do we do? That's a great question. You know we need to change. We know we need to do something. I mean, how do we go about this? Acts 2 and verse 38, Peter gives the instruction here that we follow. It says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We need that gift. We need God's Holy Spirit. But that starting point is repentance. That's what Peter said. Repent and then be baptized. The correspondence course says, following God's way of life with the help of his Spirit is the only way to build God's character in us. That's a very important quote, and so I'll read it again. Following God's way of life with the help of his Spirit is the only way to build God's character in us, to fulfill our God-given potential of becoming members of his ruling family. It is the way to peace, happiness, and glorious eternal life. That's the path that God has laid out for us. There's all kinds of religion in this world, and fake religion at that. And they talk about the name of Christ and so forth, but they don't have God's Spirit, and they're not obeying God. And they're not building God's character at this time. They can't be. You know, they're not obeying the law. But for those that God does call, and for those who respond to that calling, that's the path that God has laid out for us, that we follow God's way of life with the help of his Holy Spirit, and that's the way that we build God's character. Notice 1 John 3. 1 John 3 and verse 9. It says, whosoever is born of God, notice that, born of God, that means actually becoming a spirit being, a God being. When we're flesh, we're not born again. We're still human. We're begotten if we have God's Spirit, but we're not born yet because we're still human. So this is talking about the resurrection from the dead, the resurrection to God life. It says, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. So that's the only time that we're going to be perfect, is when we're born into the God family as an actual God being. But we need to be growing in that direction today. That's what Christ said, become you therefore perfect. That's what we're to do. We're to become like God. It's a growth process, a conversion process. It's only at the resurrection that God will make Christians perfect by imparting the fullness of his sinless nature to them. Here's a quote from Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong from The Incredible Human Potential. That book is free also at thetrumpet.com. You used to not be able to get it. It wasn't allowed for a while because the church that he founded, they tried to get rid of it, And we had a fight in court to get that back, and we did, and we were successful. God gave that to us, and you can request it free and get it at thetrumpet.com. The Incredible Human Potential. And this is from the chapter on conversion. What is conversion? Mr. Armstrong writes, this new convert is one that, you know, again, is starting out, human being still, but with God's Spirit and really striving to obey God. It says, this new convert has not received the full measure of God's Spirit, which Christ had, right? We won't receive that until we're actually born again into the family of God. 1 John 3:9, we just read that. It says, this new convert has not received the full measure of God's Spirit, which Christ had. He is only a spiritual babe in Christ, just starting out. He must now grow spiritually, just as a newly conceived embryo in its mother's womb must grow physically large enough to be born as a human. See, we understand the conversion process and the spiritual growth process and being actually born into the God family. We understand that by looking at human reproduction. You know, when a woman becomes pregnant, the baby doesn't show up that day. There has to be about 9 months of growth before that baby's ready to be born, right? So we're still in the womb, so to speak, in the spiritual mother, in the church. We're to be growing so that we can eventually be born. Further, Mr. Armstrong says, the true Christian, now this is a great paragraph just talking about this Christian walk. It says, the true Christian intends to live God's way. He wants to live God's way. He tries to live God's way. And in general, it now actually is his habitual new way of life. The occasional slip or sin does not mean that in his mind and heart he has rejected God and God's way. Now again, Mr. Armstrong's not encouraging people to sin, of course. But we're not perfect yet. We're striving, we're growing, we're trying to obey God and move forward and conquer sins and not repeat the same sins. It gives us a perspective on the conversion process. Notice 1 John 1:6-9. 1 John 1:6-9. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Right? So if we're saying that we're Christian, but we're just living a life of sin and walking in darkness, well, there's a lie that's happening there. We're not really doing that. Verse 7 says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Right? We have to be in the light. That's now our goal and purpose. It's the habitual way of life that we're striving for. You know, verse 6 there is talking about somebody that claims to be Christian, but they're just out there living however they choose, and they're committing sins, and they just keep on with it. And they don't make any changes. Well, that's not somebody that's actually a Christian. We have to be walking in the light. Mr. Armstrong says that while walking down this lighted path with God, if one stumbles and falls down, does God kick him aside? Verse 9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the point there is we must confess our sins. Mr. Armstrong writes, if we confess our sins, when we stumble, we must admit it. We must repent of it. We must ask forgiveness. If we deny it or if we blame it on somebody else, then we shall not be forgiven. So there's a lot to think about there for ourselves. You know, what is our attitude when we sin? Do we confess it? Do we repent, move forward to not do it again? Or do we try to blame it on somebody else or deny it? Right? I mean, again, imagine a little baby trying to walk. And of course, in this analogy here, the baby has to be able to talk too. But if they can walk and they're trying to walk and they fall down, and you say, oops, you fell down there. And the baby said, actually, no, I didn't. Well, what would you think about that? Or if the baby said, well, yeah, I fell down, but you know, it's because you clean the floors and they're slippery. you know, or the dog tripped me, or, you know, it would be ridiculous, right? It's almost comical. That would be a wrong attitude. You know, no, you just fell down and I saw it. You need to get up and you need to try to walk again the right way. So our attitude is very important here. We have to make sure that if we, again, when we stumble, when we fall, we must admit it, repent of it, and ask forgiveness. Confess it to God and then make changes going forward. And so that's so important. God's there to help us in every way, of course, but our attitude has to be right. And then eventually we come to that point, like we read about there in 1 John 3:9, where God can give us a full measure of His Spirit when we're actually born into His family, into His kingdom. But until then, we need to be growing and preparing for that and having the right attitude about the sins that we make, that we commit occasionally, and repent of those and get up and keep walking and keep growing spiritually. There's a lot about this process, of course, in the Herbert W. Armstrong College Bible Correspondence course. Please sign up for that if you haven't done so. And then also The Incredible Human Potential. That's a free book written by Mr. Herbert W. Armstrong. You can get that at thetrumpet.com as well. It's all free. It's all an educational service. Thank you for listening today. I'm Dwight Falk. That's all the time we have for this particular episode. Until next time, let's all strive to more perfectly live by every word of God.
You've been listening to Live by Every Word on Trumpet Radio 101.3 KPCG and online at kpcg.fm and thetrumpet.com.